Hi there, this is Kate McClanahan, and this is the Sound Advice Podcast. Okay, now you had said, Skip, that you sent me an email saying something about, you had a session this past week, and it was like everything that you experienced was what we covered in our coaching and stuff, huh?
Well, I have to stand up, and if you were looking at me right now, you would know I am standing and applauding. Because I think for every great vocal performer, and this is something also that I remembered in taking acting classes, is when you show up to an audition, you have to be prepared, and you have to know the lay of the land, you have to know how things work and everything. And I was very blessed through my agent in Atlanta. She got me a session for Anchor Bank out of Wisconsin, and what really helped me prepare was once we fired up and once we got ready, I swear to you, Kate, it was almost a script of what we rehearsed and what you and I rehearsed and what Jeff and I rehearsed through our sessions, through recording promos, and also through the practice sessions.
Nice. I'm so glad. Yeah, so that's the objective. We want you to be as prepared and take out as much gray area out of the equation as possible. I mean, it's impossible to take it all out because you're going to have different circumstances. Obviously, every single session is unique to itself, and every, you know, there's different players involved and all their kind of crazy stuff that they bring to the table. But when we do these 10 principles of performance in terms of our coaching, these really are the elements that you're looking at, not just for voiceover, but for on camera as well. So, I mean, it really does apply to film, television. It really, and it applies to stage to a great extent as well. But really, recorded media probably more over anything else. And these are the elements.
It definitely, Kate, reminded me of my days of doing stage auditions because you are put into that room. The technology, of course, you know, once whatever snafu that we dealt with on my end got cleared up, you had your recording engineer. That was the person that you talked to. You made sure that everything was set up. You had your primary contact person, which was the session director, and she was very spot on. She knew exactly what she wanted out of me.
Oh,
she was
good.
Very good about giving direction.
There are very unusual. She knew exactly what she wanted, and she knew how to direct. So that in there, that right was, there separates that particular session apart from just about every other session you're ever going to go on. But go ahead. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. I wanted to interject.
Well, and we also had there were a couple of representatives from the agency there, but we also had joining us three clients, three members of the client party.
Yes.
So when you need to be prepared to have, what, seven people listening? And each one of them adding, and just as we practiced and just as we talked about, you said, hey, you're going to hear, you know, maybe could we do this a little bit more? Maybe I didn't quite like that. I really liked this one.
Yeah.
And it really, what helped me is knowing what to anticipate and listening to what was being said to me.
Yeah.
It gave me an opportunity to attack the copy from a point of knowledge instead of oh crap, what do I do now?
Right.
And it was such a sense of deja vu in doing this.
Wow, that's great.
It was phenomenal.
I love hearing that, and I hear that more often than not. I love hearing that because that means, you know, we're actually arming you with the best possible, you know, information that you can possibly. I mean, really, this it's such an isolated field. You don't get to see the other horse. You're competing against. You know, so you can only compete with yourself. I mean, what can you do to up your game and get better and better and better to make yourself as valuable as possible? And it's really,
correct.
It's really all those elements. It's like what? Okay, great. So keeping in. You know, in line, you know, what are the adjustments we're continually making, take after take after take? And yeah, they're going to say stuff like, can you go up on the end? Give me a little space in there. Take that space out.
Correct.
Can you just a little brighter, a little lighter, a little more energy? Oh, no. Now, can you make it just a little? And you're never going to hear them jump for joy. I mean, they all, especially bankers. I mean, my God. When the client typically is on the session, it's going to be a very long session. How many takes did you do? I know you were counting.
13.
Yeah, 13, which is, yeah, that's It's not pretty good.
It's fine.
It is what it is. But you got to be prepared to do 33 or 48 or whatever, you know. It takes what it takes, and you might do pieces of it and do three in a row of this line or that beat, you know, and break it out like that and, you know, put it together. And it's like, yeah, let's try a little of this and a little of that. And let's try the whole thing now and just change it all up. And they did the edit there while you were there, correct?
Yeah. They did a majority of the edit there. And what's really funny in just what you said right there, Kate, as God is my witness, I'm thinking, God, did she listen to this? Because that's exactly what they did.
Right.
Okay, let's do three in a row on these lines. Mm-hmm. And being as how there was a legal disclaimer at the end, okay, we're fine with that. Let's back up and work on this.
Right.
And having the flexibility and the ability to understand and recognize that what you're doing is well within reason of what they're asking and what's common as this industry gets. But I don't even know if it's, you know, I'm going off book here, but I wonder if it would be interesting to the people listening to this podcast, and I guess we'd have to get permission of the client to actually, I have the actual audio of the audition because I was running it on my end.
Oh, the audition itself?
And I wonder...
Ask your agent.
I wonder how interesting.
I would ask your agent first and say, hey, we're doing a podcast. Do you think it would be okay to do that? And then... it's about, you know, how to perform as a voiceover and this kind of stuff and say, would you, should I ask your agent first, I would say,
right.
And then ask, then I would, let her ask the client, the producer, because the producer would have to give the A-okay or not on that. Has it aired yet? Do you know?
As far as I know, it has not. I believe it airs next week is when it starts.
Yeah, you might want to wait until, did you get a copy of it by any chance from the producer?
I did indeed. They're we did it just a couple of days ago. So,
right.
Once it's done and done, because they had to record two other parts, then I get my copy. And as outlined in my book, I specifically requested a copy while all parties were present.
That's right. Say, yeah, thanks. You know, whoever has you signing the papers, that's the producer. They either can give you the A-okay or not. The only time you would not be able to get a copy of that spot is if it's a demo and they're testing it.
Sure.
Or if it's, the recording engineer does not have license to just give you a copy of the thing. And believe me, he can get fired for actually releasing it to the talent. So you don't want to get that guy in Dutch, you know?
No.
And the reason he would get in trouble is because it could put the whole, you know, thing in jeopardy. I mean, we're all signed to NDAs, non-disclosures, and for good reason, because we want to make sure that all of our guys, you know, keep it in-house, and it's not up to them to we just don't have the license to do that. But this is also why when you go to get a spot, let's say you did not collect your spots as you went. And you should collect them anyway. Just, if nothing else, to hear what is what you're booking on. And I know you're in radio, too, Skip. You're going to want to, mm-hmm. I should add this. Leave it alone. Just get your stuff out there.
Yeah.
It should be, and I love that you got a nice, and those are radio, too, Anchor Bank, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I've done a handful of those
as well.
Yes. Yeah, and those are good spots, you know. I really, I've done a bunch of those guys in the past as well. And it's a really good client. Who's the ad agency, Laughlin? Laughlin Constable?
No, it's Hybing. Hybing out of Wisconsin.
Out of Madison, I think, right? Or is it Milwaukee?
Yes.
Maybe it is Madison.
You're so smart.
I collect these guys, so it's all that crazy
atta
stuff.
Girl.
But they're
yeah,
a very good agency, too. That's a really good ad agency, too, you know. Even though it seems like a small town, but I'm telling you what, Minneapolis, uh-huh. all these towns are like really great ad agency towns, you know.
Yes.
And like they're... I can't really get I'll only get $100 job. No, it's not $100 job. It's a $300 to $800 job, as it should be.
Indeed.
You know? And did you do more than one?
We did just the one, and it's after the cycle's up, there's
You'll
conversation about using it as a renewal or doing a new one.
Right. And they have a tendency with Anchor Bank to do like three or four, and they're probably trying out a campaign and, you know, seeing where that goes. But again, you know, like that producer may or may not release it. And if let's say you do a national TV spot And they've done. They usually do a demo first. I mean, this business is demo happy. And I, when I say demo, and when I say this business, I mean the entertainment business. I mean, you can't even do a movie without doing a trailer of it first in order to get backing, you know, like on Kickstarter and stuff. So they'll spend $100,000 or $200,000 just to create, you know, a trailer for a film that's 45 seconds to a minute long, and they shoot like 6 to 8 scenes, and they'll spend about $100,000 to $200,000 so that they can get, you know, 12 to 15 mil so they can shoot a short, you know, this low budget film, you know, and it's not unheard of for 2 million or whatever the heck the thing might be. It's the two million to 12 million that's a little bit wonky. But anyway, this business is demo happy. And what you'll see is they'll do a demo of the spot first. They may even do a handful of demos. I mean, I've done demos for... I did probably my record amount of demos that I've ever done was for Glade, and it was a couple years back, and I think we ended up, it was a whole campaign that they were doing, and they had the same Glade lady, you know, and all this kind of stuff for the longest time. But I did a bunch of Glade demos, and I think I did, oh gosh, I think it was like 89 demos for Glade. But there's a demo rate, which is half your normal session fee, right? And this is, and what they'll do is, if you get upgraded, if they actually use what you did, and they, you know, you're the voiceover on that thing, they may or may not re-record it. They may use what you did in the demo, and upgrade you, and then you get an additional session fee. But when it airs, obviously, you get the residuals, and this is all for union work, of course. But what you're looking at, let's say, if you're trying to collect that spot, and you only have done the demos on it, the producer will probably not release it to you because it's under wraps, you know. But if you don't collect that spot at the session, and let's say the client's saying, well, you know, let's say you just forget about it and you go, oh, that's great, and you're talking about other things, and it's all about, it's either about work or getting the job done, or there's other things pressing, and, you know, you're just building your relationship with the client, you know, and the client being the producer, copywriter, you know, whoever has hired you.
Yes.
And probably both. And you just neglected to ask them, can I get a, you know, your email and get a link to the site where the finished product will be, and so I can get it next week when you're done finalizing the spot. And months go by, and let's say 10 months go by, or even 2 years go by, who knows? It could be 10 months to 2 years, doesn't matter. But that spot has been on the air, and you've done well by it, let's say, and that kind of thing. And let's say you do want to collect that spot, and your agent's going, gosh, did you ever get a copy of that Gatorade spot? Did you ever get that Gatorade? And you might go, oh, gosh, you know, I never did get a copy of that Gatorade. I always wanted to get it. And you tried ripping it off, you know, YouTube or whatever, but the quality was crappy and just didn't sound as good, and it wasn't as clean and crisp as it could have been and should have been. And so you ask the talent agent, well, who do I get a hold of to do that? And she'll say, well, do you have your pay stub? And yep, because I just got another residual check. I mean, this thing is playing, but I can't find it anywhere online, or the copy I've got is like kind of crappy that we tried to, you know, get offline. And it's a very shortened version of it. It's not even the full version, which I'd rather have, you know. And they go, okay, well, look at your pay stub, and then you look at it and go, oh, what's the ad agency? And you'll tell them who. Well, usually if you say what the product is, they'll know who the ad agency is. Mm-hmm. And they'll go, oh, yeah, that's Gatorade. Yeah, that's J. Walter Thompson. So cool, you know, we're going to go over to J. Walter and see what's going on over there. So, or it's, you know, DDB Worldwide or whatever. You know, it's one of those two. So cool. So, they go, okay, great, let me call over there and see what the story is. And it's like, okay, and you get an email about 3 or 4 days later, and it's like, I want you to call or email Betty. She wants these little digits that you have, this code that you have on your pay stub. So I want you to give her that code that's on your pay stub. And she'll go, okay, great. And she'll say, oh, yeah, that went into archives. It went to .360 in Hollywood. So here's their number. Contact them, and you can get a copy of the spot. So you go, okay, great, excellent. So you think you're home free. So you contact Point 360 at Hollywood, if that's where, in fact, it went into archives. There's only a handful of places across the country where they archive these things. And you call them up, and you say, hi, yeah, I'm trying to get a copy of my spot that I did. Oh, great, okay, do you have the code? And then you'll go, oh, yes, here's the code. So you give them the code, and you hear, okay, yes, we do have it, and I think it's bundled with two other spots. Great, do you have a credit card? Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, wait a minute, I got paid for this spot. Do I really have to... I don't think you understand. I already got paid for this spot. That's fine. Do you want a copy of this spot? Actually, well, yeah. Yeah, I do. Okay, great. Do you have a credit card? Wait a minute. You're going to charge me to get a copy of a spot that I did the voiceover on? Do you want a copy of it? Yeah. Yes. Well, how much is it? $1,800. What?
Uh-huh.
What? It's usually between $1,800 and $2,100 in that vicinity. Now, why would that be? Because the ad agency doesn't own it. You don't own it. You don't have full rights to it just simply because you were, you know, paid to be a voiceover on it, or an on-camera talent for that matter, if you were in fact on camera. So why would that be? Because Gatorade owns it. You know, it's Quaker that owns it, you know. So it's very interesting, and that's why the producer does not have the right to just willy-nilly give you everything anyway, you know, so they can't really give you everything. But know that going in, it's just hot, I just opened the door. So you can get copies of these things, but what you want to do is, you know, just know that it's going to cost you if you wait and just let it go into archives, you know, because that's what will happen. I mean, they will charge you. Now, here's my question to you, Skip, and this is up. This is
yes, ma'am.
It's absolutely up for grabs. Everybody's different on this. Let's say you made, over the course of a year on that Gatorade spot, it played during Wimbledon, and it played during baseball games, and it played during basketball and football and all sorts of stuff, and it was on radio, and it was on TV. And over the course of, let's say, about a year, that Gatorade spot earned you about $75,000 or so.
Right, right.
Okay. Now, they want to charge you anywhere between $1,800 and $2,100 for to get a spot, you know, to get that copy of that thing. This is a year or so later. Is it worth it to you to get that?
To me personally, yes, with an asterisk, because I would gauge where that commercial is going to be, the potential of what that commercial is going to be, and it's just in my nature to have that spot up front. But if I have something that's made me $75,000, yeah, I'm gonna pay the money if I have not done so already to make sure I have a copy of it.
Right, and I would too. Now, there's talent out there that will say, well, why don't I just recreate exactly that? As if they can actually pull off production values that are even remotely similar to what the final product was, which, not for nothing, I mean, commercials have greater budgets than whole TV shows they play during. And you can hear it. I mean, it's there. You can't fake that.
It's true. Do you know what that is, Kate?
I can do better.
What that is
stupidity.
You know, it's Mr.
Pibb.
It's Mr. Pibb. You want Dr. Pepper? They can spend as much money in research and development to create Mr. Pibb. Guess what? It's not Dr. Pepper.
That's right. It's Mr. Pibb. That's a man from the South talking. That's a man from the South comparing Mr. Pibb to Dr. Pepper. Mr. Pibb,
that's it, man.
Dr. Pepper, Mr. Pibb.
You got to put it in terms of people get. Now, you know what? Now, one of the things that I wanted to point out, especially to the people who are listening to this podcast who are really just getting indoctrinated into this whole thing, I think one of the things that you just have to keep in mind is everyone in the session, your recording engineer, your director, your copywriter, your agency people, whomever is there with you, we all want the same thing.
Yeah.
And I think that we really need to keep clear with that, and that, you know, a client may not be able to express exactly what they want out of you. And I think that artistic interpretation, because even though this is an industry, this is a business, there is a degree of art involved and skill involved. And every actor in the world they think that, hey, we are artists, man, and I can do this. But have an open mind and an open ear to understand their perspective and what they need. It's like any good director.
Right.
You're going to go out. You're going to hit the stage. You're going to rehearse the scene after scene after scene after scene in the same way. And then finally, the director is going to go, no. That's great, but here, have an open mind and understand that everybody is trying to achieve the same thing.
That's a really good point because, yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, you want the best of yourself coming through. You want to offer them the very best. You want to give them the best possible options with which to go in there. But they're not, to assume that they know what they want in advance is a misnomer.
True.
Because they... Yeah. Typically, and this comes from a great deal of survey on our end, you know, here at Sound Advice. I mean, we've surveyed this stuff and surveyed it and year after year after year, and we continue to do it. And I'm telling you what, most of the people who have hired us, I often ask, do you typically know what you want in terms of the final? Do you know what you're after? And
wow.
I'd say probably it's somewhere upwards of 85 to 90% say, I'll know it when I see it.
Right.
I'll know it when I see it. There's a great show, actually, that just started on HBO just this week called Casting By. And they're going to feature different casting directors. And it's fantastic. I watched a bit of it last night, and it's just really, really interesting because they're talking about what a talent brings to the table. And it's like you can give a horrible read. You can do... It's not the best audition necessarily books the job. You know, you could be giving fabulous audition after fabulous audition. But if you're only relying on auditions, too, you're going to have an issue. It's not all about just audition. I'm auditioning as much as I can. I've auditioned 300 spots a week. Well, 300 spots a week is a bit of an overkill.
Yeah, a little bit.
I know there are people out there doing that because they're on these pay-to-play sites and stuff. I think that's a bit... loopy. It's not exactly putting all your focus, you know, in a region that might be correct for you or the best thing for you. And how much are these jobs worth? Are they worth $25 or $100? My God, I made $150 off of a job, you know, each job that I did when I was in college and I was a non-union talent, you know. I would get, you know, $150 a spot, and we would do usually about 10 to 15 spots every 2 weeks, you know, and I had three clients that were my regular clients that I would do voiceover for, and sometimes I'd write for them and sometimes I wouldn't, but I mean, my God, I was in Kalamazoo, Michigan, for Christ's sake. you know, if I was making $150 then, now this is way back before
couple
the
years
earth
ago.
Cooled, I mean, why would you go lower than that from way back then, you know, it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So these people who are doing, I'll do it for $5 and stuff, I just, degrades the industry, and it's so devalues.
It really does.
Here's the thing, a client cannot understand what the true value of your worth is, or what the, you know, they can't put a budget together, a proper budget together, and say, okay, here's what we have to allocate for our budget for this job. And they go, oh, it's just the first one. No, it messes it up. And I'm telling you that as a producer. It screws up the entire equation if you don't actually say what the value of your work is. You will get that pay. You will get that rate. All the more reason to have an agent, though. You know?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Exactly. Oh. Because let them handle that. Let them deal with it. You stay out of it, and you
That's
just
right.
open your mouth and speak.
And occasionally your talent agent will come to you and say, listen, they don't have much of a budget. They want to do this, but they're supposed to go long jump. It's really your call. If you want to do it, I'm just going to present it to you directly. And occasionally you will have those smaller market talent agents, you know. Well, I've seen this happen out of Chicago and New York and LA too, though. And they've all said, well, you know, it's your call. Here's the thing, you know. And if it's only for internet, you know, internet and new media is such a Wild West show that it's whatever you agree to it to be. So, if they're doing a buyout and it's indefinite, you know, and it's just for X amount of dollars, you want their sage advice. You really do. You want their experience and their input and their, well, what do you think? Do you think that's a waste of time? It's like, well, you know what? It's money. What the heck? And I mean, it's kind of your call, you know, and they might just throw it in your and go, well, I want the job. Sure. Let's do it. Why not? I mean, it's very interesting. I always think of, and this sounds like a complete about face, but just say yes. You want to say yes to things rather than no. If your natural default is yes, wonderful. I think it's a much more positive way to go about things. I always think of when John Lennon and Yoko Ono met. Do you remember this? Did you know this story?
Yeah, what a great story.
I love this story. Where she had an installation piece, which was unheard of at that time, early 60s, right? Mid-60s. And there was he talks about it, like in interviews, and there's like a classic John Lennon Yoko Ono story, and where he walks in this room, it's all painted white. There's a ladder in the middle of the room, and at the top there's a spyglass, an hourglass, right? Or like, you know, a magnifying glass at the top.
Magnifying glass.
And you're supposed to climb up all the way up to the top of the ladder. You take the little spyglass and you look at the ceiling. And he said he climbed all the way up. And he thought, what's going to be up there? And he looked at the ceiling, and there was one tiny little word painted on the ceiling. And all it said was, yes. And he said he loved that. It was just positive, and it was like, it was the payoff. He said if it would have said anything negative or derogatory in any way, it would have been like, wow, what a buzzkill. I came all this way just to be knocked down. It's kind of weird. But it wasn't that. It was yes. And I think that's really interesting
power.
that was the word that was up there was yes. It was positive. And it sounds like a silly kind of non sequitur, but I don't think it is really, because all art is about communication. It's about how do we communicate? How are we doing this? And that's why, too, the principles that we offer in terms of what are the adjustments we're continually making when it comes to coaching, this is what we cover, you know, and we drill this stuff. And it's what do you want in the equation, not what you don't want in the equation. It's got to be about how do you want this thing to go. And you're going to get a lot of direction out there that's like, that whole thing was good, just don't do what you did at the end, and rolling. And you have to self-direct. You have to tell yourself how you want the thing to go, and including if someone else gives you direction. You have to take that direction and then give it to yourself, right?
Yes.
So did you find that in that session for yourself, Skip, the other day when they gave
Absolutely.
You direction? You had to go, okay,
Absolutely.
You take that direction, and then you give yourself that direction, right?
I know yes, that sounds- and there was a lot of – it goes back to those training sessions again, and even mm-hmm. if people choose to do the practice auditions is yeah. going in and saying, okay, let's just do the first run. We did the first run. She goes, okay, that's pretty good. Now let's slow it down. Let's do this and go. And then, okay, now what else do you want to do with it? And then you play with it, and then you start – it's kind of like the first round you go through and you clear brush with a machete. Then you go through with a scalpel, and you start cleaning things up a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the things that that was really evident to me, in addition to there being the whole fact of everyone is in this to make it work and to make
yeah.
it great. The other part of it, I think that we do need to get out of our own way.
Oh.
And I've been accused of this several times by both you and Jeff because you're right. And I tell myself all the time, get out of your own way. Quit overthinking it and just do it.
Yeah, I think that's true for almost every talent. I don't care what strata. I don't care if you've been doing it for 20 years or 20 minutes. That's commonplace because we're in our heads and we kind of start, oh, I think yeah. it should be like this. And we think we can hear things in our heads. I can hear how it goes. No, you can't. And then you come out with it and go, oh, it sounded totally different out loud than it did in my head. Exactly.
No, boy.
You know? Absolutely,
yeah.
it sounded
well,
totally. You can't hear anything in your head. You can recall things in your head. But if you haven't
right.
done it yet, how can you recall it?
Right.
Our job as talent is always to offer those options and to continually be creating. And so, again,
right.
all the ability to self-direct is absolutely monumental when
absolutely.
It comes to making you valuable as a talent. You were saying
and
something.
And I think, too, by doing as many of those auditions as possible, that's strengthening that muscle. And
yeah.
it's just making you that much better at the art of auditioning. And yeah, it's an art, but you need to also deliver afterward. And something else there is that element of trust on the other side. And I don't know if trust is really the good word. You basically just got to give it over to them and trust that they'll get exactly what they want out of it. Once they
yeah.
get something out of it, and a really, really good example that encompasses all that, getting out of your own way
mm-hmm.
and being able to just turn it over, was the promo demo that you
yeah.
you did with me. Because I was absolutely convinced that it was the worst job ever, and it was horrible.
And it's not.
And I had to have you sit there. You had to tell me 9 times, no, I got what I wanted. It's fine. I was so right. in my own way. And not only, you know, self-directing, imperative, but mm-hmm. I think what happens to some of us, especially me, you start mm-hmm. self-producing and self-editing.
Oh, of course. And again, not for nothing, Skip, you come from radio. Everyone in radio, radio culture is a really fascinating thing. But it's all about, oh, we're all, you do it yourself, do it yourself, do it yourself. You got to have a $6,000 studio, you got, which is insane. And, you know, you have to have, you know, you got to constantly be changing your demo, which is another misnomer that is couldn't be farther from the truth. You have to establish right. yourself in this industry. You don't keep changing yes. it. Just because you actually booked it, and this is what I was saying earlier, just because you actually booked it doesn't mean it belongs on your demo. Do you collect it? Yes. Right. Do you need to put it on? No.
No.
You know? Absolutely not. It takes at least 2 to 3 years for your demo to actually bite. So you better give it an opportunity to do just that. And then you promote yes. the heck out of it. Any small business owner would go, okay, well, let's see. I set up my shop. In other words, where I'm going to record my auditions. Big gigs, where am I going to record out of? What? Who has ISDN? You shouldn't have to get ISDN in your house. It's antiquated and it's ridiculous and it costs too much.
Yes.
It's not cost effective to do that. But you better have those tracks that you've really spent time on and your abilities better be up. And you better promote like crazy because, again, you can't rely on those auditions alone. That said, your auditions you should be doing, you should have agents in a variety of regions. There's no reason. You've got to get some agents out here. I want you hopping on that.
Right.
I don't know if you're going after them, but I really want to see you doing it. Wait till you hear
this
next track.
I'm waiting for my promo demo.
Yeah. Wait till you hear
this. I know.
But your
commercial,
too. When
the promo demo is done, then everything's ready.
Yeah, but that commercial,
too. Yeah, that's...
Ooh, can't wait.
As busy as Chicago is keeping me.
Yeah.
And, you know, the folks that I got... I have a young lady that I found in Chicago that's a go-getter that has thrown so many auditions at me that all make sense. There has not been one where I'm going like... Nah, this isn't working, but it's a small agency, and she's
yep.
obviously a junior in it, but
no,
we have a good
no,
rapport.
No, she's not. Are you talking about DeSanti?
Week. No, no, no. I'm talking about LTA. Lily.
Oh, Lily. LTA. I don't know. I don't yeah. know them as that. Oh, Lily. Is it Jessica there? Who is it there?
No, it's Callie.
Callie. Well, that's cool. That's very good.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they were actually getting... I didn't know that. How many jobs are they getting you a week? How many auditions?
How many auditions
yeah.
this week? Well, actually, last week was probably the busiest. I had 9.
Wow, great. Just yeah. out of Lily's.
Just out of Lily's.
Nice.
And then I had about a half a dozen more out of Atlanta. And
good.
It's so imperative when you get on that roll and things are moving.
Yes.
You know, I am dying. I've got to get New York and I've got to get LA.
Yeah. And all you got to do, just keep drip, drip, drip. This is the month. It's August. Keep going
yes.
at it. You know what I mean? August
yes.
is... Because I'm telling you
push.
What, I want you to get, there's no reason you can't. I sent you the list, though, too, yeah?
I have it. I
all
have
right,
it.
Good.
I have it.
Good. We
and
should
there,
cover
there are
we'll
specific
cover that
names
a little
on
bit.
There that I'm really.
We'll cover
exactly.
a little bit
that's
of
something
that
to cover down the road. And
pardon
then
me?
Also, too, I think another subject, I think we should cover the agent subject down the road. And also another
oh,
subject
yeah.
is there's a legitimate question with people who do what I do of when is the right time to start seeking the union or, you know, is it something you should do right off the bat? I mean, I believe there's
well,
a lot of conversation that needs to happen with
well,
that.
Well, I'm glad you even brought it up because the truth is that, I mean, a lot of non-union talent have this idea that they can't audition for union work. They can.
That was me.
It just depends on the talent agent whether or not they want to even deal with a talent who is non-union. And and here's one of the main reasons why that occurs. It's not just because when they are expected to go union, they go, "Oh, well, I can't afford to join the union." And it's like, "Wait a minute. Do you realize you're like Taft-Hartley or you're a must join. It's also known as SAG-AFTRA eligible or SAG-E. SAG being Screen Actors Guild, and and SAG and AFTRA obviously merged about some time ago, but a lot of people don't know that. But SAG-AFTRA E, which is SAG-AFTRA eligible, and they may not even realize that they're SAG-AFTRA eligible. Some people just don't realize what their status is. So the next job they audition for that's union, that they actually book, they have to join the union. They're a must join for the union, and so when they get in there, They're going, well, I don't have $3,000 to join the union. And they've already auditioned. And so a lot of talent, some talent agents, they go, you know what? I'm not playing because they put my head in the lion's mouth and they bit my head off too many. It got me in trouble because what happens is they go, well, I can't accept that job because I can't afford that, you know, to join the union right now. Or they'll have non-union talent come in and they audition for the job and then the non-union talent does this. Oh, when is the when's the job? Oh, I can't do it then. I got to go to work. I'm waiting tables. I can't go to that. I see. You're going to make about $85,000 off this job. They don't realize it, you know, and there's no one can actually guarantee that. And the talent agent can't even tell you that because they don't have access to that information, let alone, you know, they can't read the future. No one can really read the future for where it's going to go. But if it's a pretty stable national spot, it's going to be anywhere. It could be on the low end, it's $20,000. On the high end, it's $85,000 to $95,000, you know, with residuals.
And that's
everything.
That's worth a $3,000 investment.
Yes. Oh my God. You know, and who else gets those opportunities? I mean, no one in this. I mean, seriously. And all you gotta do is what? You know, come on, give me a break. Mm-hmm. You gotta hustle, you gotta make yourself known, you know. But again, these talent agents will go, I don't wanna deal with these non-union guys because the non-union guys will do this. Oh, I can't make it to that. So what happens in that production situation is the producer's going to get in trouble. They're going to get into overages because now they got to, who's your second favorite? Well, I didn't like him and she liked him and I didn't. And we'll just do it all over again. Let's do a whole new casting. Mm. And it puts time and it puts that the professionalism of that producer and that talent agent at risk, or that casting director, respectively, if a casting director is in that mix. But it puts everybody in jeopardy, and it puts their professionalism on the line. But believe me, they're not going to use that talent again. It's like, oh, I'll get the next one. No, I won't be calling you back. You're a piece of work. I am not playing.
Yep.
You know, because it put them in jeopardy. It put them. So this is why a lot of talent agents will not deal with non-union talent. But there's a lot of union talent that are novice union talent who are just baby union, you know, talent that don't even know that. And somehow or another, they happened into the honeypot, you know, for, you know.
Oh, I've seen it.
For worse, you know. Yeah, you know.
I've seen it. There are a lot of broadcasts, I mean, from our side of the industry.
Yeah.
There are a lot of markets that are union markets, and you can't go on the air as a jock unless you're union.
Unless
you're
just
because that means that, you know, you're a, you are, you know, you get into a situation where you're doing news in Boston on some little tiny AM station.
Yeah.
You have no skills whatsoever as a voice talent, yet you're union.
Wow.
Yeah. Happens a lot.
It is. It's huge. And it's like,
it is.
Radio culture is a whole different animal. I mean, like when you start getting into that, again, you know, a lot of it's based on hearsay. It's a nomadic existence. These guys live hand to mouth a lot of times, you know, and they're, I mean, as you know, I mean, it's been, how many years have you been in the radio industry?
30.
Okay, sorry. So since you were 2 years old, and that's, you know, for someone who was just learning to talk, Skip, that's pretty impressive to start right in on.
I felt pretty good. You know, let me tell you, there was a lot of, some of those first gigs were very simplistic, but we made it through. It was all good.
You know, but the Dixie cup thing with the string, you know, there's something to be said for something that's that organic.
Exactly.
So But it's interesting because we know that the radio industry has been very unkind to the people who have supported it most, you know, in the especially in the last 10 years. And but a lot of it, you know, there's hearsay, innuendo, and subjectivity up the yin-yang when it comes to radio, probably more than anything else. And it's like, you should get this mic. And it's like, you've got an $800 mic that you don't need, and $600 worth you will never use. You know, you'll never have the ability to use it and that kind of stuff. Or they tech out, they geek out on the gear, you know. God love them, you know.
Not necessary.
It's so not necessary. Aren't you happy with the situation you've got?
Oh, it's fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. Really? And it's just going to get better because more and more people are finding the Source Connect and fewer. I mean, I knew it was going to happen this way, that the first one that I'm done since we finished the demos was going to be ISDN. Because it's like, oh, crap.
Naturally. Oh, yeah.
Fine.
Oh, absolutely. And again, it's the devil they know, you know. But you can do a link from Source Connect. You can do a link.
Yes.
It costs $35 to do the bridge.
Yes.
You know, but it's fine.
It's worth it.
We've done it a number of times, you know, and it's fine. It's the same difference.
It's worth it. Indeed.
Yeah, it's totally worth it. It's just night and day, you know. And it's American-made product. Give me a break. The Europeans like it more than Americans are embracing it, and it's American-made product. It's very interesting to me. You were talking about practice. Did you do practice auditions? I can't remember. Or are you on them now?
No, ma'am.
Hmm?
No, ma'am. I was very blessed because as I was told in doing my sessions with Sound Advice and you.
Yeah.
Skip, it's going to take you a week to get your first representation. It took 3 days. And granted, I was very blessed and very lucky. I think timing had a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I had representation in 3 days. And then within 7 days, the first auditions were coming in.
Yeah, it's great.
And
you're a marvelous talent. But you follow direction very well.
Oh, I agree, 100%.
You know, and you are a marvelous talent, and you just embrace it and play, and you're just got such a great, joyous... People want to work with people who are pleasant, and this is that whole idea back to John Lennon and Yoko Ono, and yes on the ceiling, you know what I mean? Looking through the spyglass at yes on the ceiling. I just love that, because it's just embracing it and being pleasant and being somebody that people want to work with. God, you know, how hard is that? You know,
want people to walk out of the session. You want to wrap up the session. You want it to be finished, and you want people to say, you know what, that was fun. I would like to do that again.
That's why I never get tired of this subject, because I absolutely love it. But I love seeing people succeed. It's really a blast to see people, you know, take your advice and just go. I have a guy yesterday. You're going to love this. Now, they found him on our website, right off of our site. He hasn't had his demos for longer than 4 weeks. They heard him on our site, and they go, oh, this guy's interesting. This is cool. But they were going down the list of guys, you know, on our site. And it's for, I can't even say who it's for, very big, huge, huge, huge daytime TV person, you know, who's got this show. And they're rebranding it to some extent. Very, very popular show. And it's not Dr. Phil, I'll just say that. But very, very popular show, very established. And they're rebranding it. They want the teasers to be, and their promos to be, you know, updated and stuff. So they wanted a new voice. So it was between our guy who was on our site. Now, he's been promoting himself, and he goes, I've really been going after the agents so much. And they said, somebody called me from this casting place and blah, blah, blah. Have you ever heard of them? And I said, no. And he said, well, I think they want to rep me. And all it said was, big opportunity, blah, 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 you know, because they found him and they listened to him and they clicked, you know, they linked to him and his site and that kind of thing. And they emailed him and said, hey, you know, we'd like to have you audition for this. And he did. Well, this changed everything. I mean, that was yesterday. He called me in a panic going, what am I going to do? Should I come in, or how do I do this, or what's this like? He doesn't even have a promo demo. They listened to his commercial track, which is very interesting to me. So I was like going, that's odd. You know, it's very unusual. And I thought, wow, what the heck's going on there? And so anyhow, he auditioned. And I said, do you want to come in to audition? Or why don't you do it from home first, see if it sounds good enough, you know, for them. So I go, what kind of mic do you have? Where are you, you know? And Jeff has tested his stuff and all that. And he checked out, you know, what his situation is. And he says, okay. And I said, just audition from home if you can. And he did. And he booked this thing. This is probably going to be somewhere around 20 to 30 teasers or promos a week on the average.
That's a lot.
This is worth between, on the low end, about $2,500 a week, and probably on the average between $35,000 and $4,000 a week for at least 13 weeks.
I love it.
Yeah, no kidding. And then it might be down for 8 weeks, and then they come back and they do teasers and... You know, and it's all in syndication and everything else. So, not too shabby. It's kind of cool.
It is an ongoing show. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice, nice. Well, I tell you what, the bottom line here is that it benefits anyone who is really into the Sound Advice idea and the way of doing things. follow the pattern, follow the path that has been laid before you. And some of this stuff may seem kind of rote, some of it may seem elementary, but the fact of the matter is that when you go in for the first time in that situation in a long time, and it is laid out and played out exactly as it was told to you, it brings you a great degree of comfort and confidence.
I'm so happy to hear you say that, Skip. And that's exactly what our guys who are the most successful, that's what I hear continuously. This is Kate McClanahan, and this has been the Sound Advice Podcast. To find out more about VoiceOver and our process, check out voiceoverinfo.com.